We did have a few technical difficulties this morning. We've overcome those. We're here now. I think we've got a lot of good information for you this week. Remember, the key, or what we believe is the key about these meetings, is to make them relevant to you, what your questions are. So our speakers today are designed around that. But before we get to the speakers, I do want to talk about a couple issues that are real quick that we did have questions on, and we try to get the information back. Sometimes we have to refer to other people to get that information, but we've got it. So give me just a couple minutes here to talk about a few safety issues, and then we'll get our speakers in. First of all, everyone likes to know about the inspections. Last week we had 109, 63 were clean. That's 58%. That's a little bit lower than our average. Gives us a good challenge for this week to get that up above 60% for our clean inspections. We did have a question, and we had to refer this to Dr. Abraham, and it deals with getting the vaccine. Once you've been fully vaccinated, is it true that the immunity only lasts for 3 months? And that's the big unknown. According to Dr. Abraham, we simply don't know. As time starts to pass after people have been vaccinated, the scientists, the doctors will look at the data, and then we'll be able to tell, do you need a booster? Is it going much beyond 3 months? Just what is happening? So the answer to that is they really don't know. This is uncharted territory with COVID-19. So our recommendation to you, our strong recommendation, is go ahead and get the vaccine. I've gotten it, very minimal side effects on the second shot, just a headache, and that was it. Dr. Abraham's office is giving vaccines here in Springfield. You can call Trinity Health and they'll tell you the procedure to go through. It doesn't matter where you live, any state, Dr. Abraham has the authority to vaccinate you here. And then for the second shot, if you can't get back here, if you have another source for it, that's fine too. But Trinity Health will go through that for you. We did have a question about that panic button on the Qualcomm, and when should you push it and what happens when it gets pushed. That panic button is really a lifeline for you. You should push that if you're in an accident, a serious accident, and you're able to push the panic button. If you feel threatened out there, someone's following you, if you don't feel the surroundings are right, you can hit the panic button. If you're having a health issue, hit the panic button. And what happens is that sends a message and it gets very quickly to Prime. And at Prime, it goes to your fleet manager or who's covering for your fleet, if your fleet manager is off. And it also goes to our security department. You will get a message immediately from Prime saying the panic button was pushed. If this is an accident, let us know right away. Because if not, we're going to ask local authorities to respond to your position. And we'll know where you're at. And we will respond out. And we've had many cases where it has been a medical emergency or a driver has been in an accident. So if needed, don't hesitate to push that panic button. And if you hit it by mistake, it's not the end of the world. It doesn't go to 911. It comes to Prime and you call in and say, that was a mistake. No problem at all. And we'll move forward. I want to talk about two drivers just for a second here. And why do I want to talk about these two drivers? Drivers are just always unrecognized out on the road. I think we saw that during COVID-19, finally saw a little bit more recognition for the drivers across America, keeping the country moving, but it's not enough. It's like the first step of where we should be in recognizing truck drivers. Truck drivers do a lot that the motoring public doesn't know about until maybe they actually need them. And these two drivers, the first one, Tyler, and I hope I pronounced your name right, Tyler, Mazzaroli. This was a horrific crash that happened in front of Tyler in Arizona. He was one of the first vehicles there, disregard to his own life, went to a burning vehicle, was able to extract a 9-year-old child who survived the crash when other people did not, and was able to comfort the child until the 911 arrived. And for that, he was nominated and selected as a TCA Highway Angel, which is just fantastic. It does give recognition to what drivers do out there day in and day out. And just this past week, we had a brand new driver, Kyle Carson, was driving along. Again, an accident in front of him, came to a quick controlled stop. In fact, his trainer said he didn't even generate a hard brake. He brought the truck to a controlled stop, jumped out, assessed the situation. As a former EMS paramedic, he was able to give medical treatment until the ambulance arrived. And we're going to go ahead and nominate Kyle for a Highway Angel as well. And I think it's great when we can do things like that within the industry and draw recognition to what you do out there. And what can you do? just keep doing what you're doing. Have your equipment looking good, driving responsibly, driving as you should out there. People notice that. We get a lot of compliments on your driving out there. On occasion, we do get a observation that goes the other way. We investigate them. If we need to take action, we do. But you do a fantastic job out there. And Tyler and Kyle are just two examples of what's been going on out there. So we did want to go ahead and recognize them. For today's meeting, we've got two speakers we haven't had. We haven't had one in a while, and we haven't had the other. First speaker we're going to have today is Steve Crawford. Steve's our general counsel. Steve handles all things legal here. We talk about nothing happens without IT. Well, we should probably add on to that. Nothing happens without going across Steve Crawford's desk, whether it's accident related, contract related, disputes that we're having, how we deal with associates, everything goes across Steve's desk. Steve's been here about 27 years. I'm proud to call him my friend. And what Steve's going to talk about is just a little bit about the PRO Act and AB5. We get a lot of questions, may not have a lot of answers, but at least we want to reassure you that we're aware of what's going on, and Steve can do that better than anyone. So Steve, if you'll come on up. So I'm going to introduce Steve Crawford, our general counsel at Prime.
Thank you, Steve. Well, as Steve said, my name's Steve Crawford, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit about and take your questions, because I could probably go on and on about this legislation that's out there, but take your questions on your independent contractor status and whether or not it's in jeopardy. There are two different laws that have been floating around. You've all heard about them. You've read about them. They're all over trucking, but they encompass far more than trucking. The first one is AB5. AB5 is a California state law, and it was done to go after the gig workers, the Lyfts, the Ubers, the delivery drivers. They said, wow, there's all these workers out there and they're making a living and they're not employed by anyone. So with AB5, we're going to redefine the definition of employee. And when they did that, they created this three-prong test. And the second prong says, you can't be an independent contractor if the work that you do is the same type of work that the company you're contracting for does. So if you sell houses and you're a realtor and you contract with a real estate agency, you can't be an independent contractor. And all realtors are independent contractors. If we own a trucking company and you're a painter and we hire you to paint the building, that's fine. But if you want a truck for us, haul freight, we're in the trucking business. You can't be an independent contractor. And that went on and on and on down the list of examples. And so immediately they started carving out exceptions. And to date, I think they've carved out about 50 or 60 exceptions to that, because it was going far past the Lyft and Uber drivers. They did not carve out an exception for trucking in California. They didn't have to, because the California Trucking Association sued them. They sued the state of California. And they said, hey, you can't regulate us. We're regulated by the federal government. And the judge granted an injunction and said truckers are excluded from AB5 based on this lawsuit until this lawsuit's over. And on a side note, kind of a legal piece for you, the standard for getting an injunction is that the judge has to believe there's a high probability of success for the person asking for it. So the judge in California believes there's a high probability that the California Trucking Association is right. Therefore, they grant the injunction. How long is it going to take before we get a ruling? Unknown. It's a lawsuit. It's California. 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. It's hard to say. I can tell you right now, been going on for a good year and a half, and it's still in its infancy. So that's AB5. A little bit later on, they introduced another law last year called Prop 20 out there that worked something out with the gig workers, because when they introduced this AB5, like I said, trucking they sued the state, but Lyft and the gigs and the other ride shares, they threatened to leave the state. So they have this Prop 20 out there, and it's kind of some middle ground where those companies agree that they'll still be independent contractors, but they'll provide benefits like make them available, I should say, health insurance and things like that. So now let me jump over to the PRO Act. The PRO Act is a piece of federal legislation. So real quick, back to AB 5, California state legislation applies to you if you are domiciled in the state of California. Doesn't apply to you if you live in Texas. Applies to you if you are domiciled in the state of California. The PRO Act is a piece of federal legislation. And the PRO Act applies to you if you're domiciled in the United States of America. So everybody, right? Because it's a federal law. And the PRO Act was created in 2019. And it's really a collective bargaining or union enabling piece of legislation. And so the Democrats are heavily supported by the unions, always have been. And they created this law that said, look, 10 million people in America belong to unions. The participation rate in unions is tiny. And 75 million more want to be in a union. So we're going to pass this sweeping legislation that basically makes it impossible for employers to discourage unions. There's penalties and fines, and you can't have meetings that talk about how unions are bad, so that we can get union membership up to the numbers that we think it should be. We want to equalize all the workers in America. We want them all to make the same thing, all to be protected. There can be no discrimination or any other problems with worker lawsuits or complaints if they're all protected by unions. In that legislation, they said, we need to define who an employee is. Because why? Because there's tens of millions, hundreds of millions of folks out there that are independent contractors, that if we could make them an employee, there'd be more people we could get in the unions. So they borrowed the language from AB 5 that we just talked about from California. The second prong, where you can't be an independent contractor if the business that you do, the work that you do, is the same type of work the company you contract for. They borrowed that from California and stuck it in their bill. And so who's in favor of the PRO Act? Well, the Democrats are, right? Because they introduced it. It flew through the House in March of this year. The president is a union man and says he's in favor of it. And the unions are in favor of it. Who's opposed to it? Everybody else. Industry, manufacturing, every independent contractor on the planet. Strong opposition. The question I'm asked often is, will the PRO Act pass? In other words, you've explained to me that this AB 5 out there, and I'm not from California, you say, and so I'm not too worried about it, but the ones from California say, I am, and you've explained to me that that's a lawsuit and you can't really predict when it's going to end. So I guess I'll just wait 2 or 3 or 4 years and see what happens. How about this PRO Act? Is this thing going to pass? It's federal. And will it prevent me from being an independent contractor? The answer is most likely not. In the Senate right now, as you all know, you watch the news, we have a 50-50 split. And it takes a majority to pass a bill. There's no date set for this bill to be heard in the Senate. There's also something called a filibuster. It's been around for a long time. And the filibuster requires, it enables the minority party, in this case, it would be the Republicans, to stall out or delay by debate any bill. And to stop the filibuster, you have to have 3/5 of the Senate, which today is 60. And so, bear with me, 50 Democrats have to get 10 Republican senators to agree with them to stop the filibuster to get the 50%
so that the vice president can break the tie to get the 51% to pass that law. Not going to happen. The Democrats aren't going to get 10 Republican senators to side with them on this. Maybe even not all. There's some talk. I don't know. I can't tell you what the leaders of our country are thinking all the time, but I certainly watched that deal yesterday. I couldn't tell you what was going on. The moderate Democrats may or may not have been lobbied by the unions, but this legislation is the most sweeping labor legislation since the New Deal, since the 1930s. It would change the landscape of labor law and affect all of us. As I said a while ago, not just truckers. I mean, imagine how many independent contractors out there. Construction, journalism, trucking, all the gig workers, realtors, quite a few realtors in America. All these groups are affected. And no carve-outs in the Federal PRO Act yet. But there doesn't need to be any carve-outs because it hasn't made it to the Senate. It hasn't made it through the Senate. So will it pass? Not likely at this point. Don't panic. What can you do? If you're still worried about it, what can you do? Rest assured, if you live in Missouri, we've reached out to your representatives. They know exactly where we stand on this and how important independent contractor status is to you. If you don't live in Missouri, Google. Go to Google. How do I contact my senator? There'll be a site. They love to hear from you. There'll be an email address. Send them an email. Tell them who you are. Tell them what you do. Tell them how much you like it. Tell them what you make. Don't drag it out. You know, they don't want 3 pages from you. Give them a half a page or less and send them an email. The more of those that you get, the better off we'll all be. So go to your states where you're from. Go to Google, reach out to your senators and let them know. I'll take happy to take any questions. Just want to assure you all, you know, we are paying attention to this legislation. We're fighting on your behalf. We know how much you love your model and your freedom and your independence and your compensation package, and we're going to protect it one way or the other. Okay?
We're good.
All right.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate that. Okay, so it's on commercial. A lot of people will watch this not live. So if you do have questions for Steve, if you put them on the website or on Facebook where you normally put your questions, Andrew will get those. We'll run them by Steve Crawford and see if we can't get you an answer for them. I know it's hard for everyone to watch this live. That's impossible. So we'll certainly take questions the next couple weeks that you have. Last week, we kind of touched on the subject of fuel surcharge. Honestly, we probably didn't do the best job. When you do these live, you got to be ready to go with any topic. And that's why we kind of backed up a little bit, said, tell you what, we'll bring some speakers in next week to talk about fuel surcharge. So we've actually got 3 people here that we think will be able to take your questions on fuel surcharge if you have any today. Got Daryl Hopkins. Daryl, on the accounting side, is the controller of the company, but he's also the director of Success Leasing. A lot of you know him from that role. He sits right up there near Success Leasing, always accessible. So we're going to ask Daryl to come up and kind of refresh all of us on how fuel surcharges work. But we also have Sean Riker and Angie Reynolds here from the payroll department. In case it kind of bleeds over to your settlement or how something works there, we've tried to gear up to be able to answer any questions that you have about fuel surcharge today. So I'm going to ask Daryl Hopkins to come up and take it from here. Daryl.
Thanks, Steve. Daryl Hopkins, I'm the controller director of leasing. And I understand there's some questions about fuel surcharge. So I'm going to give it kind of my best shot it's a formula. So it's one of those things that would be a lot easier if I could sit down each with each person and just write it out on a piece of paper. But I think it gives some basics, because I think sometimes it's perceived as more complex than it is. And no doubt there's some formulas behind it, and that involves some math that can get a little complex, but there's some real basic premises I think I'll cover first. And that is, first of all, just understanding what the fuel surcharge program is. This really is Prime's way of providing you price protection on your fuel costs. It's one of our greatest programs because it involves one of your greatest expenses. And so the basics of it are that we're saying we're going to protect the price of fuel that you're paying. And I'm going to use two key numbers right now to kind of describe that. First is, what price? Our formula says we're going to protect your price at 99 cents a gallon. Now think about that. What we're saying is, we don't care if fuel goes to $2, $3. This formula is going to keep your price at 99 cents a gallon. Now, what do you have to do to make that happen? You really have to do one thing, and that is, well, really two things. One is protect your miles per gallon, because the formula uses 7 miles per gallon. Our fleet average right now is about 8.5. So that's a low bar. Everybody ought to be able to hit 7 miles per gallon. The second thing is, use our fuel network. We've provided a fuel network that has the best pricing on the planet. We compete with anybody. Our fuel managers has negotiated contracts and prices with our fuel providers to get you the very best price. So that's really the responsibility you have. Use the fuel network, manage your fuel, your mileage to be 7 miles per gallon or above. And really, you should be hitting 8.5 or higher. So how does it work? Well, let's put it in perspective first. Why do we use 7 miles per gallon? Because one, we think that's a very easy, manageable target. And so the way to look at it is, if the price of fuel goes up 7 cents. So let's say it goes from 99 cents to $1.06. It went up 7 cents. At that point, we say, okay, we're going to protect you. It's 7 miles per gallon. It's 7 cents it went up. That's 1 penny per mile, because you got 7 miles and it cost you 7 cents more for that gallon. So that's 1 penny per mile that it costs you. Our calculation says pay you 1 penny per mile. So that formula will protect you. And what it does, it says, okay, I paid you a penny a mile. I paid you for that 7 cents. I just brought your price from $1.06 right back down to 99 cents. So the formula is simple. It says, what's our average cost that our drivers, that you paid for fuel this past week? And then it says, okay, if that's $1.06 and we protect you at 99, well, that's 7 cents. Pay that 1 penny per mile to each driver to protect them. So your price should always be 99 cents a gallon. And we've locked that in. So we call it our price protection program. Now, some people might ask, well, okay, I've seen other lines on my settlement. What are those? Well, I'm going to tell you the second phase of that calculation. And that is that our customers don't always want to match up to our philosophy. For different reasons, they may want to say, well, we want to start our price protection at $2. We're like, no, our guarantee is 99 cents. So what we do behind the scenes then is we'll look at that and say, well, we're going to take and shift a portion of line haul to fuel surcharge, because we're going to protect you from 99 cents. And we're going to make that piece very clear. And that always stays the same. It's one set formula. And then that adjustment comes through and says, okay, now here's the estimated line haul. And that's the piece you have to look at and evaluate. Because you're always going to, we simplify the whole process by saying, here's your fuel surcharge. And then here's your line haul. And you look at it and evaluate whether this is a good load or whether it's not a load you're willing to accept. I think that is the basics of the formula. Open to questions if there's something I can add or help clarify. It's not always the simplest concept, but if you'll keep in mind that there's really two things, it's 99 cents a gallon And your job is to use our fuel network and to achieve the highest miles per gallon you can achieve. The beauty of our program is as you pass 7 miles per gallon and get to 7.5 or 8 miles per gallon, you actually bring the price of your fuel down. We have many operators that are running well below the 99 cents per gallon. And it's all because they're fuel efficient.
Daryl, the first question that we got, and it talks about the revenue split 72-28 and how the fuel surcharge works on the revenue split.
So on the fuel surcharge, we're paying you 100%. I mean, that's the calculation. You get 100% of the fuel surcharge. Again, our customers themselves, they may change or choose different methods. They may say, I want to start the base at $2. We're only going to protect you from $2 and above. They may say, we want to protect you from zero. We know as a company, none of those are economic reality. We match it to our program because that's what we promise you. And we think a 99-cent promise is pretty powerful. So you'll get 100% of the fuel surcharge. You'll always get 72% of the line haul, as adjusted based upon adjusting the customer's bill, but you'll get 100% of the fuel and 72% of the line.
Daryl, the next question, it's kind of in Sam Messick's area, and we're hoping to have Sam here next week. And it was talking about the programs that the truck stops have. Are they going to be able to continue those? Have Sam's negotiations been successful?
So to answer that question, we are currently right in the middle of our negotiations for our next deal. And most of those providers, our fuel network providers, are still offering similar programs to what they've offered in the past. I'll tell you that each time that we go through these negotiations, the purpose and the idea is simple. We're going to get you the very best pricing we can. We almost generally always improve it. So right now we're working on the same thing. You know, our best deal, our best provider this past deal was Love's. They've really stepped up. Really provided some huge fuel benefits. Will they be on the next one? We don't know for sure. Pilot's getting very competitive. TA's very competitive. They're all right there in the hunt. And so we're waiting to get all the final negotiations done. But I can assure you this, the deals will be as good as they are or better because we have grown in size and they continue to want more of our business.
I think that's it, Daryl.
Thank you very much. If you have additional questions later, you can call me prime.
Thanks, Daryl. Now, as Daryl mentioned, if you have questions, a lot of times it's hard to get the questions in and we're not sure exactly how it's being asked when we have to look at on the small computer screen. So we're not ignoring any questions. So if you have some, make sure. Now, we've got a lot of resources when it comes to fuel surcharge, your fleet manager, your payroll person, Sean in payroll. Daryl, all these folks are, we don't want to hide anything. We want to be completely transparent. And at the end of the day, our goal is to make every one of our independent contractors and owner operators financially successful out there. The next speaker we're going to have is Jim Guthrie. It's not going to be the normal topic. Jim's normally talking about how we're doing load wise and you know, what's going on out there. But this time we've asked Jim to give us a little update on the load choice. No, we started that, COVID hit, there's been some stops and some starts, and we may not have a specific answer to your question, but we did want to give Jim the opportunity to talk about what he sees as far as going forward here in the future. So I'll ask Jim Guthrie to come up and talk about that.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Appreciate that, Steve. So we get a lot of questions about the Load Choice Program, and so let me kind of just start from the beginning here and go back and can you hear me?
No, okay. You're just too tall.
And so I want to go back and kind of outline where we started, where we are. So, you know, we get a lot of comments or questions. Is this a load board or what's the load board doing? So, you know, at Prime, you know, we don't aspire to have a load board type of system. A load board is kind of one of those deals where put a bunch of loads up on a screen and maybe they get covered and maybe they don't get covered. And that's not our business model. So, I wrote down a couple numbers here and I just kind of want to illustrate what we're talking about. So, Prime, we are positioned as a premium service provider to our customers. That's what gets us the rate structure that we get. That's without a doubt industry leading, and also gets us our volume, contractual volume commitments. So in order to attain those types of contractual terms with our customer base, we have to provide a high level of service. And the service that you all provide every day over the years has been industry leading as well. Without a doubt, we've won, we've got all these awards from a wide variety of shippers. We don't ever, anything we do from a load selection process, we never want to interrupt that part of our business model, because that's key to your earnings on a weekly basis. Week ending March the 12th, the average available truck in the reefer division averaged $6,687 per truck in gross revenue. That doesn't include fuel surcharge. So that's a real number from a week and a half ago. And so I guess 2 weeks ago today, what I would tell you is that our ability to achieve those earnings levels resides really heavily with the way that we approach booking freight. And we really try to overbook or push the envelope and book as much as possible and make sure we have a backup plan for what happens when things change. And so, that same week, we had about 20,000 pre-plans or plans put on trucks throughout the week, whether it was through our load selection program or through our planner conventional planning. And so of those 20,000, about 20% of those had to be reworked at least one time. So you say, okay, so that's a lot of different, a lot of juggling. So we have a big puzzle to put together, take the pieces apart, put them back together. And that's happening very dynamically throughout the day, almost minute by minute, hour by hour. So with COVID, one thing we've seen is a huge amount of unprecedented volatility in the supply chain. So what was a preloaded trailer 5 minutes ago, customer changes to be a live load, or what was loading at this location all of a sudden now changes to load at this location, or maybe the appointment's going to get changed because they're having labor problems at location A, location B. Maybe we have a cargo claim, a delay here, or maybe someone got stuck in traffic getting delayed, so we can't make this live load on time. So this is a constant juggling act. It's extremely dynamic. And so, for those reasons, this isn't something that we're able to automate on a high level. And the reality is we don't want to automate anything as it relates to your business. This is a people business. The very most important thing you can do is cultivate that and develop that relationship and that partnership with your fleet manager. The loads, we're gonna provide a video in the near future outlining how the load selection process works from start to finish, even from before we book the load to when we book the load, then to how it actually ultimately gets planned and then ultimately gets delivered, so that everybody has a little bit better understanding of that. We've always encouraged drivers that are interested to come and sit down and observe and interact with our sales planners and our sales coordinators to understand some of these dynamics now that we've lost a little bit of that traction with COVID, but we are going to produce a video to help people understand. So, long-term, we think there's going to be some fit into, maybe it's a different division. Maybe it's, we're not really sure exactly where it's going to go long-term as far as the load choice program, but we're not going to abandon it. Certainly going to look for ways that we can fit it in, over the long-term. But again, I think it's very important for everybody to understand the most important thing for your business is to have a good relationship and partnership with your fleet manager. Your fleet manager's got access to a lot of information that you don't have at the given time. And all of our professionals that are evaluating all these dynamics are heavily incentivized on these revenue per truck numbers. And so they're using all this information that they can gather throughout the day and throughout the weeks to make the very best decisions, using technology to make the very best decisions that they can make to help you earn as much money as possible per day. So, you know, again, that partnership with your fleet manager is very important. This is a people business, and the people part of it's extremely important. So, you know, I wanted to kind of give you an update. We're not really adding to it right now, but we're not taking away from it. We're still going to test it in a variety of different ways over time to come up with the best way to make it fit with our business model and also fit for something where you see additional transparency into what's out there.
Jim, we saw the question a couple of times. I think I know the answer. Is it ever going to be mandatory that a certain group of people are going to be in that program?
No, it would never be mandatory. We've seen, you know, a lot of people that were in the testing phase that decided they really didn't really like that. They felt like it took away from their relationship with their fleet manager. You know, we've had some service disruptions through the COVID situation with having struggles getting people. You know, a customer might call and say, listen, I don't want you to pick up this load anymore. Things just changed, and I want you to pick up this load. And so there's been, you know, with the lack of capacity in this kind of a marketplace where it's, like I said, unprecedented volatility in the supply chain, there's been a lot of this modulation by our customers and our in-house folks over the last year. So, but no, it would never be mandatory.
Jim, a question about the revenue numbers you gave. We're assuming that's across the board, every truck. So that includes solos, teams. Maybe next week, could we have you talk about how the breakout is between solos and teams for next week revenue numbers?
Yeah, absolutely. That's correct. You know, very good question. That is a blended number of all of our refrigerated division trucks. So that would include solos and teams. And that's the available trucks, those trucks that are, so this is adjusted for those trucks that are available to work, you know, that week. And so on average, about 75% of our fleet was available that week to work. And that's the revenue that they produced, our solos and teams. And I'll be glad that next week bring a breakdown for everybody to understand what the difference is between the solo and the teams. I will tell you that our available teams many weeks can make over $10,000 in revenue to the truck. So, you know, those of you that are, I have to put a plug in, of course, those of you that are out there and are qualified and are eligible to train and you would be a good quality trainer to help bring new people into the industry and help us, you know, continue to grasp more of this volume from our customers and build this business. You know, there's a great opportunity right now, and we would encourage everybody to please consider doing that.
Jim, if one of our operators has a suggestion on the load choice, where should they start with that idea?
Absolutely. You can call myself or any of our operations managers at any time, send the information through Facebook, and Andrea gets that to us. So any feedback you have, we're always you know, anxious to hear it.
Okay, Jim.
That was pretty easy. Hey. Listen, you know, customer demand is really strong out there, folks. We really appreciate all you're doing. We've got some sunlight coming up. I think it's going to be 70 degrees in the middle of the country tomorrow. So we're crossing our fingers and knocking on wood here that the winter weather is behind us. There's never been a better time to drive at Prime. If you know somebody out there that would make a good driver, you know, there's a ton of opportunities. So encourage you to refer people, encourage you to train, help bring people into the company and into the industry. And, you know, appreciate all you do very much. Thank you. Everybody be safe. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks.
It's you, Steve.
Okay. We're still working out the bugs on this Facebook Live. Now, I want to thank Jim for coming up. And I thought of something, you know, as I was waiting, you know, how I was going to kind of, you know, close out that area with Jim and the Load Choice Program. And we're really got a two-way street here. We put tremendous trust in our operators. We give you what we think is the industry's best training, the best support, the best facilities, the best equipment. But at the end of the day, we're trusting you out on America's highways. And we know things happen out there. Fortunately for Prime, we stay incredibly safe out there. So we're entrusting you really with the Prime brand. You are our face when you go to a receiver, when you go to a shipper. We've entrusted you with that. We feel confident with that. And that's a good decision. The reverse of that is, I'm going to ask you, just from me to you, that you really need to trust what we do for you. Our goal remains that you make a good living for your family. You've heard Robert talk about that time and time again. We owe that to you. And it is complicated. Trucking is complicated. It's not as simple as picking up a load and delivering it. Someone that wants a simple kind of scenario like that, there's probably trucking companies that do that, the same thing every day. What we offer is the opportunity to really increase your earnings, grow your business, but sometimes it is a little bit awkward getting to it. As Jim was talking about, the load we think you're going to be on, we all of a sudden need to reposition you because we have got to take this load for this customer. Our planners, they see the big picture. They see all the loads and they make tough decisions all day. So just the point I'm going to ask is have faith in our system, have faith in our in-house associates, because we are with you. We want you to succeed. And that's what we're laser focused on 365 days a year. Now, I want to thank the speakers that we had. We're not done yet. Everyone always stays till the end because we'll close out with Robert and Steve. I do want to suggest if you like the video, go ahead and subscribe to this channel. If you liked it today, give it a thumbs up, hit the bell icon so you get notifications of future videos. We do our best to get one out each week. Andrea and Mitch really overcame some technical difficulties today to get this out to you. We started a little bit late. I apologize for that, but we did get it going, and I want to thank both of them for that. So I'm going to ask Robert and Steve to come on up, and they'll probably have some words of wisdom for us today. I know you really enjoy them being up here together, so here they come.
You're good.
Don't need it?
Nope, you're good.
Okay.
Words of wisdom is a stretch.
Speak for yourself.
Okay, I will.
Yeah.
Good morning, everyone.
It's good.
Good to see you all before here. Sorry about that.
We're
good
just
to see you all.
Lots of issues.
Yeah, sorry about that. Go ahead.
It's like Steve said, good morning. It's good to be here. You know, 70 degrees, can't beat that. Grass is getting green. Flowers are going to be blooming soon. And most importantly, the shippers are shipping like crazy. They really need our capacity right now.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Probably the best talking point we have in sales is just the capacity demand from our customer base. It's really the first time we've struggled since I've been here at Prime, providing enough capacity to our customers. It's a unique situation. Uncharted waters, obviously. You know, the dynamics of this era have changed the behavior of kind of our driver base, you know, a little more time off, being home with family, trying to give relief to the significant other that's staying home with the kids. We're seeing that impact our total number available on the road. It's understandable, very understandable. So the challenge for us, as Jim mentioned earlier, is to continue to grow our fleet. We've got, what did we turn down last week? 20,000 loads, some number like that, which is more loads than we actually handled. So the demand, as everyone has said, is unbelievably strong. We don't see that changing, right?
Well, we think in terms of the element of service from the shipper's perspective is just pick up on time, deliver on time. But there's a third element. Well, there's several of them, but the most important additional element is capacity. They need trucks. They need us. And we have a wonderful customer base. I mean, it's the envy of the industry, you know, from a rate standpoint, fully burdened year round, year after year. Our group of shippers support us and they expect reciprocity. They expect us to, in return, provide them the capacity they need. And whether it's COVID-19 or weather or whatever, while they understand the safety aspects, they want us to bring them capacity so we can transport their products to their customers in turn, and they can increase their sales and grow their companies, all these things that you know, we're all about. So keep that capacity in mind. That's why we talk about good, healthy growth. That's why we talk about recruiting good, safe drivers and training good, safe drivers and, you know, growing the fleet. And the more mass we have out there and the stronger position we have in the marketplace, the more power, the more benefit we bring to our shippers and the more bargaining power we have with them. So it is very important.
You know, I really like today's meeting because our fleet got to meet Steve Crawford, our in-house counsel, who really is involved in just about everything that goes on in our company. He's supremely knowledgeable about what's going on politically, and I hope you took note of his presentation. And Darrell Hopkins really trying to explain our fuel surcharge program. As we have said all along, we pass fuel surcharge money 100% to our driver base. And that is all part of the overall culture and the part of Prime that may be unique compared to other companies. So we thank you for what you do. We need to do more of it. We don't see this changing. We think demand is going to be very, very strong the rest of the year, might even get a little bit stronger. So great earning opportunities. You know, our highest calling is safety. That never changes. Why don't you talk about our military people?
Well, we always acknowledge our appreciation for our veterans, our military folks. So important. We have many vets here, and obviously our nation owes a debt of gratitude to those that have made that sacrifice and serve our military. So thank them very much.
And lastly, I want to say, as was presented earlier, we have your back when it comes to accessorials. We're moving these rates. As Robert said, our customer base has been generous with us. They know what the marketplace is doing. And we're continuing to press on those for you. So once again, we thank you very much, and can't wait to get the terminal completely open, get everybody back to work so we can see you face to face, and get back to the primary culture that we have, which is about people. So thank you all very much. Thank you, Bart.
Yeah, thank you all.
Steve, could you, or Robert, could you expound a little bit on the returning to work? That's the most common question we're getting right now. When will our driver base be able to see their fleet manager again, see their payroll person, their log auditor?
Steve, we're guessing a little bit right now, but you know, I think as far as kind of a general time frame, is going to be about 3 weeks after we get everyone vaccinated here. And that's likely going to be mid-May. So the end of May, I think you can look on a rotational basis. It won't be 100% right back, but maybe 30%, maybe 50%. You know, we're kicking around those options right now. Safety of our folks, safety and protection of your health is of the utmost importance. So we're going to make sure that Dr. Abraham buys into what we do. We don't jump the gun and maybe have an outbreak, you know, this late in the game. You know, we've survived this far. We've done a good job. Folks have done a good job from home. They're likely going to be working more from home in the future. But we, as Steve said, we're excited and looking forward to getting them back here on a rotational basis, and that being relatively soon now.
I think it's safe to say, Steve, that our folks are excited about trying to get back as well. They miss that face-to-face interaction with their peers and certainly their driver base. And we're looking forward to it. So thanks, Robert.
One more question. It's a tough one. We may not have the answer. Is a vaccine going to be required at some point to enter Prime property?
No, I don't think that it's we're going to require people to do that. Now, we may have some questions. We may have some different protocols. We'll explore that. But my personal feeling is that the vaccine will not be required.
Super.
Hey, lastly, you all know the speed of the team is the speed of the leader. We got us a good leader right here. Thank you.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate you both today. Now, we're not going to wrap it up quite yet with these live meetings. We can take follow-up questions. So Daryl's going to come up here. There's something we need to either clarify a little bit or explain a little bit more. So, Daryl?
Okay, so I guess there's a little confusion, which I honestly expected. This is a calculation. It's not the simplest program, but you know, I made a statement, and I'm going to repeat it, and I'll make sure I explain it well. And that is, you get 100% of the fuel surcharge program, and you get 72% of line haul. That 100% is our fuel surcharge calculation. You get 100% of that calculation. Now, our customers, they pay a wide array of these things. Some customers don't even pay a fuel surcharge, but you're still going to get one because our program to you is the formula we presented, and you're going to get 100% of that calculation. You will always get fuel surcharge based on that. And then you'll get 72% of the adjusted line. But that's how the program works. I hope that clarifies some things.
Thanks, Daryl. We went a little bit over today, but that's fine. I know there's some pending questions out there. Thomas, I saw your question. We're going to put together a little program on that for next week. The one question I want to touch on really quick, because it is important, is how long is the rehire process? We make that as quick and as painless as we possibly can. We love rehires. As I heard someone say yesterday, a lot of folks, this is their first trucking job. Once you get this job and you've driven it prime, there's a lot of different people trying to pull you away from us. They're offering things that maybe they can and cannot deliver. We lose people to that. The reverse of that is we get a lot of people back from rehire. If you were successful here, if you were safe here, we want to hear from you. Contact our recruiting department. Contact your old fleet manager. We will do everything we can to get you back. And a lot of times what we see is when a driver comes back after leaving the first time, they never leave again because they have seen the grass is not greener on the other side. We'll be back next Friday. We'll try to start right at 8 o'clock. There were those difficulties today, but Andrea and Mitch got us through it. So again, thanks to them. So we'll see you next Friday. Please tune in, watch the videos, subscribe, click the bell icon. Thanks very much. We'll see you next week.